most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
Thanks for having us, Paul. Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The Houston Texans are 1-7-1 after Sunday's 24-16 loss to the New York Giants, a rather repetitive loss where they played against a team that's probably equal to them from a talent perspective, and yet they lost because they shot themselves in the foot. Damian Pierce fumbling inside the 10-yard line, Davis Mills throwing an interception in the end zone, and you're wondering where they're progressing. Q has a thought on Lovie Smith at 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line. What's going on, Q?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to say, you know, in all fairness to whoever would have gotten this position, the coaching position this season, would after trying to take care of the aftermath of Bill O'Brien and whatever and everything that took place last year, I think any coach should at least get 2 to 3 seasons to try to fix some of this mess that we've allowed ourselves to be in.
I think that's a fair argument, Q. I guess I would ask, over the course of a season, teams are supposed to make some progress. We did at the very least see some progress from the Texans in December of last year under David Culley. Where have you seen progress from Lovie Smith with this team underneath him?
Well, actually, only on the defense, actually. Everything else has seemed to regress. I think we found a decent running back. And it's the other things I think have to come together. We already know we need a quarterback. And a couple of things need to take care of itself up on the front line.
And look, you can only work with the talent that you have in front of you there, Q. But, again, where is it getting better? Your argument about the defense getting better, I mean, they lead the NFL in missed tackles, and that big catch and run for a touchdown where Jalen Petrie missed a guy who he had dead to rights short of a first down, like that is a highlight of, I think, the biggest problem for this team is that they are fundamentally terrible on defense. I mean, you have to be able to tackle guys.
I agree with that totally. And like I said, I don't care who you put in that position. You got to give them at least 2 to 3 seasons to try to fix this thing.
I'm with you to an extent, Q, but you gotta show me something in the first season to make me feel like the second and the third years are going to be different. Otherwise, you're just giving them 2 to 3 years for the sake of giving them 2 to 3 years, you know?
No, I don't agree with that either, because I wouldn't do that if I didn't see any progress as well.
Okay. Well, appreciate the phone call, Q. I mean, that's where we're at with Lovie. I don't think he has a lot of job security right now. I don't think Pep Hamilton has any job security right now as offensive coordinator of this team. And look, there are lots of things that you can point at on this team as to why they are stinking the way that they are stinking. But collectively, it is the same thing every single week. And the young players on this team are not making massive leaps forward. Damian Pierce has had a good season. He hasn't fumbled in a while, but that fumble is a part of a early season problem. Davis Mills has not progressed at all. I get it. At the end of the game, like, there were some nice catch and runs by Jordan Akins, but he's not progressing. Kenyon Green is not getting better as a pass protector. From a defensive perspective, Jalen Petrie seems to have hit the proverbial rookie wall at best. Missing tackles all over the place. He's the guy that misses the most tackles on this team. And Derek Stingley Jr. is not Sauce Gardner. So, I mean, that's where you're at.
Also, as far as seeing progress as we progress through the year, well, didn't really mean to do that, but whatever. Sunday, this coming Sunday, they play Washington. Okay, that's a winnable game.
I don't think it is.
If there is such thing as a winnable game for the Houston Texans, that's one of them. Then they go to Miami. Then they play Deshaun for his first game in Cleveland. Then they go to Dallas. Then they play Kansas City. And then they play Tennessee.
Yeah, they're losing all those games.
Yeah, so even if they do make progress, I don't know if we could tell with their schedule coming up.
I think that against the Commanders, you should be able to tell. I think on Sunday, you should have been able to tell too. That Giants team, Brian Daboll is going to win Coach of the Year. I thought they looked sloppy and stupid in the first half. They gave you chances. That's been the worst part about this year is that the teams they have played have given them chances over and over and over again. And you would think that at a certain point that they would be able to take advantage of any of them. But after the game, Lovie Smith's being asked, like, hey, what's going on? What's wrong? And he's saying, yeah, well, we're just not getting enough takeaways. You can't rely on takeaways. Takeaways do happen as a byproduct of good defense, but that's the big issue? I think the big issue is the team just doesn't learn from its mistakes. It just keeps on making them over and over again. And while there are definitely some things to look at and say, well, at least you got this going forward. I thought Christian Harris was thumping people. So at the very least, you have somebody at the linebacker position with a pulse. But after that, Juan is in Cyprus at 713-780-3776. He wants to talk about Davis Mills. What's going on, Juan?
Hey, you know, I love all the shows on this station, especially yours. But can we put a stop to all the Mills hate? You know, Josh Allen had 3 years, and he wasn't very good the first couple of years. But people want to forget the last 9 games of Mills with Tim Kelly led 20 yards and over, and red zone efficiency last 9 games over all quarterbacks with Tim Kelly, and all of a sudden he regresses because of Pep and Dusty's handcuffing the quarterbacks.
Lovie Smith.
And it's not all on Mills. They got to develop the damn quarterback.
I love how Dusty Baker just took a little bit of a drive-by there. Well, Juan, and I know you did it accidentally. Juan, the follow-up question that I have is the same one that I have about Lovie Smith. Okay, yes, Josh Allen happened, but we're talking about in Josh Allen an incredible raw talent, a guy who's big, who's strong, and I guess we lost Juan there, who has a cannon for an arm. What one trait does Davis Mills have that makes you think that any of those things are possible down the road with him? Being patient for the sake of being patient is not how you win in this league. It is cutthroat. You need to make evaluations of players quickly, and if they aren't good enough, you move on. Not for long. That's what the NFL stands for. To expect Davis Mills to be better years from now because Josh Allen is better, no offense, dumb. Josh Allen is like ridiculous raw athlete. If Davis Mills at the very least had a modicum of athleticism, take a look at Justin Fields. Justin Fields has been playing a lot better over the last couple of weeks because the Bears are saying, okay, screw it. We're just going to let him run the football. That is something that Fields will have in his back pocket forever. I saw some random person like tag me in a comment from earlier this year like saying like, oh, you don't understand. Like Davis Mills, you don't even know what that means. Davis Mills has this in his back pocket. Davis Mills has nothing. Like, Davis Mills has nothing to go back to when all else fails. So, like, what's the point? He is a pocket passer in 2022. You are useless behind a bad offensive line. You are useless behind a below-average offensive line. Like, you got to have something. And he doesn't. 2 to 3 years from now, we're going to see something different? Why? Just tell me why. Oh, well, patience. It's like, listen, we're not fermenting alcohol here, okay? We don't have a bunch of oak barrels in a garage that we are trying to turn into red wine 7 years from now. No. What we have is a quarterback who claps a lot. Like, that's all he's good at.
Yeah, hey.
He's a good clapper.
Good claps, though.
Hey, backup quarterback material. Claps on the sideline.
I am ready for the 9-year Davis Mills backup QB.
The vintage? Oh, yeah.
Career.
Yeah.
Because he has backup QB written all over.
Look, I don't want to bully Mills here. I feel bad for him. It's a tough spot to be in. He's a backup quarterback at best. But he's clearly not the guy. And what's kind of sucks for him is that he's going to continue to take all these strays and shots from a lot of fans. I think deserve shots because Kyle Allen sucks and he's not ever going to play. And you don't ever want to see him play. Like, I know that question was asked, well, hey, maybe turn it over to Kyle Allen. Things will be different. Will it?
I get why, especially when Brooks was asking Lovie Smith that, I get why Lovie can't just go, well, bench him for who? Who are we going to bring in? Again, like Kyle Allen? Come on.
Yeah.
You're better off just, like, you know, to a certain extent, you're better off just seeing if Davis Mills has anything. If he just shows you anything the next 8 games.
But he's not going to.
No, but you know Kyle Allen isn't.
Yes, exactly.
So that's
it's a waste of time with Kyle Allen. You're hoping essentially for what you just said, Sean. You're hoping, like, and what our caller just said, Juan, that you get that kind of whoa. Hey, look.
I'm not even saying Josh Allen, like, you have to look like a future MVP candidate. I'm saying just look good. Like, have something where you're like, oh, Wow, he really put it together for two games.
Just remember that sometimes at the end of the season, you will see teams play a little bit better, and generally it has to do with the fact that they're going up against teams that also are starting to look ahead at prices for tickets for the offseason. And the problem, as you just laid out the schedule, Sean, is that the Texans are not playing many teams like that down the stretch. It is probably going to get worse. Like the Commanders, this is probably the last game where you can look at on the schedule and say, okay, well, like they should compete. But for the most part, the rest of the way, they're going to get absolutely murdered. Best case scenario. Maybe slightly murdered. I don't know. It's bad. I'm sorry I'm lingering on this as long as I am. But some of you guys want to talk about it. We will talk about it. 713-780-3776. Do these Jim Crane comments concern you? Because right now, no one's running the show for the Houston Astros. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Nothing quite like a long Sunday to make you remember that there's still a lot of time left until the return of your World Series champion Houston Astros. We do have a countdown for that. We're getting closer, guys. We're almost to 4 months. Almost there. What day are we at now? As we count down to the start of the 2023 baseball season?
The 2023 baseball season is almost tomorrow. Are you even ready?
What do you have to say to the everyone who still considers the Astros cheaters?
Y'all.
All right.
There's no downtime. What? You wanted a break from baseball? I guess you wanted a break from winning, loser.
Ring the f***ing bell! It's one of the World Series!
Yeah! It's the Astros!
Astros!
Astros countdown!
The countdown is at 136 days, and guys, they got him. Another season of the Rafael Montero Show next year. Let's go. And the year afterwards, let's go. And the year afterwards, let's go. 3 years, $34.5 million for a guy who definitely has good numbers, who is your setup man, who's throwing almost 97 mile per hour gas, who's pretty good against lefties despite being a right-hander, and who still scares the absolute bejesus of me every single time he is on the hill. But he's back, baby! Yeah! Think that your Astros starting pitcher has it all figured out? Well, Rafael Montero is going to make you feel a little tingly. He's going to make your intestinals not so hot.
Oh, Paul, no, I just had a lot of coffee.
No, it's Rafael Montero, okay? Some of you guys are probably a little more appreciative of his ability, and I remember him in Seattle, and I do not think anything is different. But whatever, his spin rate and his fastball, they're better now that he's with the Astros. I still, you know, I mean, fifth game of the World Series. He comes in, and I mean, it wasn't fun. It was not fun for me, at the very least. Hey, also, on Friday, talk about your all-time Friday news dumps. It happened not too long after this point in the show. I think it was at about 11:35 or so. We found out that the Astros had fired James Click / didn't renew his contract, which is the same thing. They also got rid of somebody else, a big part of the brain trust, a guy that they brought over from the Los Angeles Dodgers, Scott Powers. So, most of Friday, all of Saturday, all of Sunday, the Astros have not had a general manager. Well, what about on Monday? It's time for another recurring segment that we have going forward right here on the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. It's everyone's favorite segment. Do the Astros have a general manager?
The Astros don't have a general manager. What is happening? What is going on?
They're World Series champions. Who gives a f- baseball, pal?
It's Astros don't have a general manager. Watch 2022.
They still don't have a general manager. The options, a little slimmer. Some people thought that Milwaukee's David Stearns could be a possibility. Stearns, for his part, on Friday said, I'm not going anywhere, which means that Sig Mejdal, sabermetrics analyst for the Baltimore Orioles, former NASA engineer, guy who worked with Jeff Luno in the St. Louis Cardinals back in the day, a man inspired by the movie Moneyball, I guess that he's the front runner to be GM. But in the short term, the Astros have, it seems, a GM by committee as Bill Ferkus, the senior director of baseball strategy, and Charles Cook, the senior director of player evaluation, have been promoted to assistant general manager alongside Andrew Ball already. So Ferkus and Cook are running the day today. Jim Crane has a lot of influence, though, clearly. As you probably heard during Jim Crane's press conference with Dusty Baker last week. I don't want to read too much into what an owner says at a press conference, but I think that Jim Crane is just telling everybody what he wants to do. Completely unprompted, after a question that was asked to Dusty Baker, they tried to move on to the next question. Jim Crane grabbed the mic and just went on a tangent about the future of this roster.
Of all the years I've been here, I don't think we've had an off season where, you know, there was maybe three or four pieces where they're free agents, and I don't think we're going to need to make a lot of adjustments. We'll certainly work very hard on the key spots that we could use some more depth to add some depth, and we have the resources to do it. So, you know, what's great about this team is the pitching depth so deep, you know, and hopefully Verlander's in that list still, but really not a lot of holes.
If Jim Crane is a meddling owner, or if Jim Crane's voice is the loudest in the room right now, hearing Jim Crane say that we're working on Justin Verlander in that press conference to me means that Verlander is going to be back. And that Verlander might have all the negotiating power right now because of that. Because he and Jim Crane are boys too. They golf together. In for Justin Verlander. I think there's a strong argument to be made, though, that the Astros could move on from Verlander. And I feel like that might have been a point of contention between Jim Crane and James Click, among many others. Click, I think, airing all the dirty laundry in multiple interviews, it seems like, whether it's with people that are just tweeting about how the Astros are looking at this point in time, or it was that Ken Rosenthal piece in The Athletic. Click wanted everyone to know what was going on from his perspective. There are two sides to every single story, though. I don't have a problem with Jim Crane moving on from James Click. I really don't. It's now a matter of, is Jim Crane going to operate in a financially sound and smart way? He did seem to hint at a move that did take place over the weekend in that press conference with Dusty Baker, announcing Dusty Baker's extension. Here is more Jim Crane, and notice one of the names that he drops along the way in this clip.
We'll move fast, and we'll try to add a little depth and a little more pop, maybe a bat or two. And, you know, we've probably got one free agent in Montero. We'll work on that. And we think we can improve the team from this year. So we like our chances moving forward. And, again, we had a great year and didn't have a lot of injuries. So that was very fortunate. And, you know, the pitching was outstanding and, you know, timely hitting. So, you can't write it any better than it came out.
You really can't. did go very well for them from an injury perspective this year, especially when it came to the arms. From a positional player perspective, a little bit less so. And you hear Crane mention that they want a bat. Well, I hope that they get a couple of bats. I want to have someone at first base that maybe isn't Anthony Rizzo, but somebody else as an alternative to Yuli Gurriel. And that is if you even bring Yuli Gurriel back, which I do wonder about given that he's going to be 38 years old. I'd also say in the outfield, they should be looking at somebody from a depth perspective, because when they lost Michael Brantley, I know that Chaz McCormick did really well in the postseason, but when they lost Michael Brantley, that was a hole, and they tried to put Jake Myers there. Thank God they stopped trying to put Jake Myers there. They put Mauricio Dubon there for Justin Verlander, and they put McCormick out there. McCormick, I think, has definitely earned some April and May playing time, but if he reverts back to what he was for most of this past season, you need to have an alternative. It doesn't seem like you have one cooking in the minors, at least at this point in time. 713-780-3776 if you have concerns about perhaps a more meddlesome Jim Crane. Also, how do you find football joy now? Like, what is it on a football weekend based in Houston, Texas, or just in the state of Texas as a whole? Are you looking to and saying, yeah, this makes me feel good, I like football? What is it? I think we need to pool our thoughts together. Because, yeah, it's one thing to be negative and to be downers all the time. But, no, we want to put positive vibes out. How can you appreciate football in Texas in the year of our Lord, 2022? We'll discuss that next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
We are down bad here in Texas when it comes to major football. Of course, the Houston Texans now 1-7-1 after a 24-16 loss to the New York Giants. A game they could have won. The Giants team is far from dominant. You just made two mistakes enough for New York to take you down, even though New York was making a lot of mistakes early on in that game. False starts, drops. It's really funny to see Kenny Golladay out there getting booed whenever he even has a ball thrown his way, because he's generally been dropping it. I believe he got a ridiculous contract from David Gettleman not too long ago. But yeah, we're down worse. And it's not just the Houston Texans who were stinking in the NFL. There are other teams too. They just stink the absolute most. So going forward, we need help. How can we find joy in the little things? You know, you don't want to become a skeptical, cynical person that thinks that everything is going to turn out bad for you. You don't. That's no way to go through life. And I don't want this show to be that, even if we have a couple of months left this football season in what has been an absolutely miserable football season. So, do we take joy in the fact that the Dallas Cowboys blew a 28-14 lead in the fourth quarter and lost to the Green Bay Packers 31-28 in overtime? Is that something that we could say, hey, at least the Cowboys aren't actually taking command of the state of Texas when it comes to football? Oh, that defense that they have, it's so good. Oh, they gave up almost 200 yards on the ground today. Green Bay Packers offense featuring Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon on the ground. Is that something that we have? Is that something to be excited about? 31-28, the Green Bay Packers led by Aaron Ayahuasca Rodgers taking them down. Does that give you anything? Any feels? I'm not going to lie, it didn't give me any feels. There's a part of me that actually wants to see the Cowboys do well, just because I would like one of the football teams in this state to do okay. How about Saturday? You had a couple of college football games. Texas was in it at the very end against TCU, but they did find themselves down 17-3 early on in that game against the Horned Frogs. This is the touchdown call that we have. And Sean, I'll let you weigh in on it. I know that watching the game at T-Bones up off of TC Jester while wearing my Renaissance Festival gear, armor, helmet, my best buddy, who was a big-time UT fan, I asked him, hey, like, you okay? And then he's like, I just want to watch it by myself. And I was like, okay. But this is how TCU took a commanding 17-3 lead.
Texas brings pressure. Duggan backpedals, lofts to the end zone, wide open, Johnston, touchdown! A confused Texas secondary left the elite receiver wide open, 31-yard strike.
He was wide the hell open, and I mean, Texas only made it close because TCU just pooped their pants, fumbled a snap, and Texas returned it for a touchdown. But that was it. Like Quinn Ewers, the Quinn Ewers hype train has gone very far off the tracks, and everyone on that train is dead now. Sean Mapes.
Never forget who was tapping the brakes. I was saying, hey, guys, it's two games, or it's a game in one quarter that we're basing this all off of. But, yeah, no, you ask where we can find football joy in the state of Texas. How about our underdog, little scrappy Horned Frog?
That's true.
They're touchdown underdogs. They went into Austin and won.
I don't know many TCU fans. I only know really one. He has a purple PT Cruiser looking thing that like an old school PT Cruiser.
Nice.
I don't know if it's nice. I don't. It's like a weird looking Volkswagen-ish pickup truck of some sort. It's a bizarre car. It's like chrome purple, and he drives it up to Fort Worth every now and then. I don't know if I don't think TCU fans are annoying. I could be wrong. I really don't know.
I think the fact that we don't know kind of it, that
we can jump on this bandwagon
makes me lean no.
Okay. So TCU, that is a place that we can find football joy, though it does suck that UT is what they are, that Steve Sarkisian just can't get this team up to play against a top four undefeated team that they were favored against.
I mean, the offensive line just could not do anything against TCU's front. Sam Ellinger.
Bring him back.
Quinn Ewers played like he's 18 years old, and just
his mistakes are bad. When he makes bad mistakes, they are bad.
When he's bad, he's awful. Some drops too didn't help, but yeah, it was. They at no point did they seem like they were like getting really anything on offense. There were just a couple big plays that they would get where it's 15, 20 yards here and there, and then the red zone they just could not cash in on anything really.
Right. So, okay, we're not finding it with UT. I suppose there might be some who are finding joy in the absolute disaster of a season that this has been for the Texas A&M Aggies, who lost 13-10 to a coachless Auburn team. I mean,
disrespect to Cadillac Williams.
You know what? It is pretty cool that Cadillac Williams is a head coach out of nowhere.
I feel like every team, every big-time college team that fires a coach mid-season, they should have to put in, as an interim, their version of Cadillac. I mean, the Colts are basically doing
Jeff
that
Saturday,
right now.
I was about to say. I mean, maybe that's what the Texans should do. Like, hire Andre Johnson to be the interim coach of the Houston Texans.
I'm for it.
I mean, what's he doing?
And then 2 years from now, when we fire the full-time coach, Brian Cushing, come on down. Brooks Reed.
Does Brian Cushing have the kind of character that would be worthy of the Texans? Is he Texans worthy? Just kidding, because he is on that coaching staff. And that is, of course, in reference to the overtrained athlete syndrome, which saw him test positive for PEDs. He's overtrained. It's fine, guys. It's totally normal. Yeah, so... Texas A&M lost 13-10. This was Jimbo Fisher at the post-game press conference when asked about just life in general.
Well, I mean, the offense we run is still the same. There's similar all schemes across the board. We just got to call it better, coach it better, and do it better. And if we bring somebody in, if that whatever happens, it didn't matter. He's still verticals are verticals, smashes are smashes, and like, we got to get it coached better and do a better job of it. So we'll evaluate everything.
Less pep in his step, less fast talky-talky by Jimbo Fisher there. I suppose you can find football joy in the fact that Jimbo Fisher allegedly benched Moose Muhammad III because Jimbo Fisher, at least per Jeff Tarpley of 247 Sports, Fisher did not like skill position players wearing sleeves, so he kept Muhammad out of the game because he was wearing sleeves. He didn't play at all. So,
I mean, but to be fair, it's not like they need help on offense. How many points did they score?
They scored 10. I mean, good God.
Were they passing the ball well?
I'm guessing no.
Okay.
The worst
Maybe
part...
Maybe they could have used Moose Muhammad.
Sean, I got to say, the worst part about this, like, I feel for my Aggie friends. They're like, just completely checked out. They don't care at all. And this,
that's disappointing that the 12th man has turned their back on this team.
The 12th man might have to give up their 12s to Seattle.
This is where the 11 need the 12th the most.
Right now. Right when I mean, I was told that the sky is darkest just before the dawn or something. I don't know. I don't know what the saying is.
Dark night. I remember.
Yeah. The darkness is darkest just before the dawn. The
night is darkest. Right
there we go.
The dawn.
thanks for that one. I don't know how I always butcher that one. It's the other one that I butcher too is at the end. Like, it's not the hero that Gotham needs, but it's the one it deserves right now. Or is it the other way around? I don't know. Whatever the case, bad Batman quoting and all. I mean, you can't really find any joy in this Texas A&M team unless you're like ironically enjoying the fact that this was a top 10 team and that they will not even go to a bowl this year, a year after opting out of a bowl. So, I don't know what you do here either.
The city's eating itself.
Who would be a great interim head coach for Jimbo Fisher if we're talking about Aggie greats? Like, is this where you bring Johnny Manziel back? Just say, screw it. There's only two games left. Let's just get drunk on the sidelines.
Manziel would be good. Javorski Lane.
Javorski Lane. I like that. What other? On a serious note, Gerard Johnson is an assistant coach somewhere. I think he's with the Vikings now. Thank God he's not with the Colts anymore. I could be wrong. He could be with the Colts still. I think he got to Minnesota. And if that's the case, good job by Gerard Johnson. Where's he at, Sean? We're doing some
still looking.
We're doing some crack research right now. Reggie McNeil puts in degenerate gambler on the Twitch.
He is at Minnesota.
Hell
that's
yeah.
Assistant quarterback's coach.
So we don't want Gerard Johnson to leave Minnesota. Minnesota's the best team in the NFL right now, tactically, just based off of what just happened.
Yeah, and really, the Colts really fell apart after he left.
That's true. Would Matt Ryan have been a better quarterback this season if Gerard Johnson was still there? Where do we find football joy? I mean, the Cougs won a shootout, 43-36 over Temple. So there's that. Hell yeah, Dana Holgorsen. It's really like Baylor. Oh, wait, they got killed. Can't do that anymore. Who did they get smoked by? Kansas State? It's hard to come by. Good football in this state right now. Holy smokes. It is not good.
Yeah, they lost 31-3 to Kansas State.
Oh, my God. Jesus. that's really bad.
And they play TCU Saturday.
Oh, well, hey. The hopes of Texas. Collective misery. Rest on Baylor. To bring TCU down with the rest of us. But, yeah, I guess we're on the TCU bandwagon right now. Frogs forever. Frogs fly forever? Frogs eat flies forever. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN to call in to text it on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Up next, is Lovie Smith going to get through this season? Is Lovie Smith going to get another season? Should he? I think a lot of you guys don't feel that way. Is there any defense for Lovie or Davis or anyone going forward on this Texans team? We'll talk about that next to wrap up the show before we turn things over to the Killer Bees. It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Yeah, it's not fun to watch football here in Texas these days. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN if you have any ways that we can find joy, peace the rest of the way. Some people have been suggesting ironic alternate coaches for the Texas A&M Aggies. Because, you know, maybe you put in an interim coach, Jeff Saturday style, Cadillac Williams style with Auburn, see what happens. A text, Gary Kubiak comes back to coach Texas A&M.
Too experienced. We need guys that don't have coaching experience.
I would not mind Gary Kubiak back as head coach of the Houston Texans right now.
No, I wouldn't wish that upon Gary Kubiak. You see what the last season did.
You're right. That's true. That is true. For health reasons, we can't go that direction. We can't. Some others. Ryan Swopes for Texas A&M interim coach. Todd, the show on Twitch says notable Aggie alum Lyle Lovett. A little alliteration? Okay.
You did the Phil Maton thing to him.
Did I pronounce
it's
his name
Lyle
wrong?
Lyle Lovett.
Lyle Lovett?
Lyle Lovett.
Lyle
you
Lovett.
Said Lovett. Like well, Lovett. Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be pronounced.
You would
learn to pronounce your own last name.
His name.
Flimsy Cherry asked the question because I guess we're jumping on the TCU bandwagon. Maybe I can. Do you think I can buy a TCU shirt and have it available to me by Friday? I don't know. But
maybe not Friday, but you can get one.
I feel like this game against Baylor coming up this Saturday is exactly the kind of game that TCU would blow just so they would be consistent with the rest of Texas in football this year. Like I don't feel great about this game against Baylor.
It's also a very college football thing to do, is to like give the committee an excuse not to put you in the playoff so they can put in Tennessee.
Is TCU Baylor considered a holy war?
Yes.
The holy war. Baptists versus
I don't know if they call it the holy war, but it is a rivalry. It is a tense rivalry.
Baptist versus
Christians.
So very vague.
Vague Christian.
I remember when I applied to TCU and I had a scholarship to go there. No, just facts. I don't think it would have paid for much, given how expensive that school is. But I remember them making a big deal out of, wait, but we're not actually like that Christian. We're not that Christian. It is weird, too, because SMU, you think of as Southern Mansion U? No, Southern Methodist University. But since there are rivals with TCU, you know, the battle for the Iron Skillet, I'm of the assumption that TCU is a different denomination of Christianity than SMU. The things we know, the things we don't know, the things we learn. Lovie Smith is still the head coach of the Houston Texans, at the very least for now, and he has been asked a lot of things over the course of the last 24 hours. Very curious as to what happens at his press conference today. I'm not going. Not going. It's not worth the time at this point, you know? You got to go where the attention is demanded. But here is Lovie Smith being asked about Damian Pierce fumbling the football, which also happened in a game that was about as toilety as it gets.
Stuff happens. That's what I'm going to say. I'm definitely not going to criticize Damon Pierce, knowing what he's been doing for our team. But we've got to protect the football. Yes, he knew it. We know it. Can't do that. But he played the way he normally plays, and that's given his all every time he has an opportunity to. More of us need to play as well as Damon has played throughout this year.
I mean, that is true. At the same time, no one should be immune from criticism on a losing football team, right? There was another play, too, where I think Damian Pierce was probably the reason that a false start happened. Pierce is a guy who has a lot of potential and is clearly the most exciting player on this team, but even he has a mistake, and someone like Pierce can't afford to make mistakes. Maybe that's something you call out privately. I agree with the assessment of King of All Twitches. This isn't on Pierce. It's much more so on the collective. Davis Mills is a part of that. But the fumble thing is an issue, and when you look at a player who does not go down and refuses to go down, like, that's going to happen from time to time. Oh, man. I mean, at least we can laugh at other situations, right? The Las Vegas Raiders, who did beat the Texans this year, also lost to Jeff Saturday, completely inexperienced head coach. After the game, it's sounding like Josh McDaniels is on the verge of having a mutiny on his hands when it comes to the relationship between coaches and players, which we thought was better because McDaniels has learned a thing or two. Derek Carr, after the game, asked about the back and forth, the relationship between the coaching staff and the players.
Is there in any way a disconnect with what you're trying to do and this new staff as far as the system?
I don't think so. I love Josh. I love the car. I love our coaches. They've had nothing but success, you know, way more success than I've ever had, you know. And, I'm sorry.
Derek, continue.
To finish that, sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off. about some of the things, you know, that a lot of us try and do just to practice what we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off. Pisses a lot of guys off. It's hard knowing what some guys are doing. Like I said, just to practice what they're putting in their body just to sleep at night. Like just so we could be there for each other.
Also, that sounds kind of weird.
And I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place.
Oh.
And as a leader, that pisses me off.
Wow.
If I'm being honest.
Wow. Okay, so it's not on the coaches. It's on other people on this team, I guess. Damn. It's a bit of a curveball at the very end of that. It does feel rather performative by Derek Carr up there. That said, he has always been a little bit sensitive at the podium. So I do think that some of this emotion was authentic. I don't feel bad for him, though. I don't. Like, you got what you wanted this offseason. You should be better than you are. That's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. At the very least, no one's crying at the Texans press conferences. Maybe that would inspire the team to do a little bit better. Big thanks to everybody who called in, who texted in, who tweeted in, who joined us on Twitch, to Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.